In the book of Ruth this morning, the book of Ruth, and if you would stand with me, we're going to read from verse number 3 of chapter 1 through verse number 18. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Amen. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's pray. Lord, bless this message as it goes forth tonight. Use it to stir our hearts and to help us to afresh and anew fall in love with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for those that are here and are not saved, use the message to draw them unto thyself. Amen. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We want to continue with this series of messages on the subject of salvation. Last week, we were also in the book of Ruth, and we took a look at the love story that is before us here. And in this particular love story, Jesus Christ is at the very center. And you know what? You will find that your marriage will not be representative of a true love story unless Jesus Christ is at the center of it. Because the Bible tells us that a man is to love his wife, but it also tells us how he's to love his wife, as Christ loved the church. And a woman, she's to submit herself unto her husband. But how? As it is fit in the Lord, as she would unto the Lord. And I tell you what, it's very hard for a marriage to last nowadays, or in any day, without the Lord Jesus Christ being a part of that marriage. We saw in this book last week that Ruth is a good representation of the sinner. Ruth, she came from Moab to Bethlehem empty-handed. That's what Naomi expressed. She said she went away full from Bethlehem into Moab, but she had come back empty. And the only thing that she did have with her was her daughter-in-law, Ruth. She had no food, Ruth nor Naomi. They had no food. Ruth had no heritage. She wasn't a Jew. She had nothing to offer the men of Israel. She wasn't pure in the sense that she was no longer a virgin. She had at one point been married and her husband died. And so she really had nothing to offer a bridegroom. She, like the sinner, had nothing. The sinner has no righteousness of his own. The sinner has no purity. He has been polluted and corrupted with his sin. But we also saw that Boaz is representative of the Savior. Both are wealthy. We're wealthy. Mm-hmm. Both obedient to the will of the Father. Both compassionate. Both generous. And so Boaz looked upon Ruth favorably, even though she had nothing to offer him. And that's why Ruth says in chapter 2 and verse 10, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" She couldn't understand the type of love and compassion that Boaz demonstrated towards her. And nor does the sinner understand why the Lord would ever love him the way that he does. But he does.
Yes, he does.
And as a result of Boaz's love and compassion for Ruth, they marry, and the product of this union is fruit. They have a son. Likewise, those of us that are saved and are in Christ Jesus, we become His bride. We ought also to bear fruit as we go out witnessing to other people, trying to bring them to the Savior as well. But the message tonight, again, revolves around the person of Ruth. But what I want to explore tonight is the difference between Ruth and Orpah. I think most of us are aware that within the contents of this book, Ruth gets saved.
Yes, yes, sir.
But Orpah does not. What then was the difference? What was the difference between these two ladies? I want you to notice first tonight that it wasn't what they heard. In verse number 6 of chapter number 1, it says, "Then she arose, Naomi, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread." And at that point, Naomi gets her two daughters-in-law and they begin to head out towards Bethlehem. But they had all heard the same thing. Orpah and Ruth had heard the same thing. They had heard that there was a God in Canaan.
Yes.
They heard that from Naomi and from whoever the messenger was that brought the news to Naomi. They heard that the God in Canaan was the Lord. They heard that He had a people.
Yes.
And that He was blessing His people. They all heard that. But there was only one of them that got saved. But they heard the same thing. Not only did they hear the same thing, but they also performed many of the same deeds and actions and acts. It says in verse number 8, this is Naomi speaking, "The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." In that verse, Naomi points out the conduct of both of her daughters-in-law. Both of them were kind to her. And I think that that's demonstrated as you read through chapter number 1. They loved their mother-in-law. They cared for her. They worried about what the future held for her. And so even though their husbands were dead, there they were still dwelling with Naomi, perhaps in hopes that they would be able to comfort her mourning. Maybe able to make her life a little bit easier than it was going to be without her husband and two sons. They were both kind. And Naomi points that out. They weren't only kind to her, but Naomi references the fact that they were kind in how they dealt with the dead. I'm assuming that's referring to their deceased husbands. I don't know specifically what Naomi is referencing. The Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe it's because they didn't run out and find another husband. Maybe it's because they didn't just forget about their first husband and their father. And that's what kept them by the side of Naomi. They behaved in many ways the same. They married men. Orpah and Ruth both married men from the same family. They both perhaps lived under the same roof. They ate the same meals. They went to the same places. But only one of them got saved. What was the difference between these two ladies? It wasn't what they heard. It wasn't what they did. It wasn't even what they said. If you look at verse number 10, it says, "And they said unto her," both the daughters-in-law said to Naomi, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Notice here at first, both of them say to Naomi, "We're going with you. We're following you." And they both appear to be very earnest in what they're saying. You see, they both were of one mind. They said the same thing. "We're going with you. We're going to follow you, Naomi. We trust in the direction you're headed." But only one of them got saved. What was the difference? Well, it wasn't what they felt. Look here at verse number 9. It says, "The Lord grant you that ye might find rest," Naomi speaking to the ladies again, "each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. Notice when Naomi kissed her daughters-in-law, it says that they lifted up their voice and they wept. Verse 14, it says again, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law." What was the difference between these two ladies? It wasn't what they felt. It wasn't their emotions, because emotionally they felt the very same way. They both shed tears. They both cried. But only one of them got saved. What was the difference? If it wasn't what they heard, and it wasn't what they did, and it wasn't what they said, and it wasn't how they felt, what was the difference between these two ladies? You know, there are many sinners that are just like Orpah. They've heard that there's a God in heaven. They've heard that He is the Lord. They've heard and know that He has a people and that He blesses His people. But they're not saved. They're not born again. They've heard the same things that other sinners have heard that have gotten saved, but they're not saved. Many sinners are like Orpah in that they have behaved in many of the same ways as saints. I mean, there are sinners out there, people that aren't saved, that they're kind to their friends and neighbors.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
They bring them cakes and cookies during the holidays. They mow their yards after they have a medical surgery and can't do that for themselves. There's many unrepentant sinners in the world today that are faithful to their husbands, that love their children. There are sinners out there who pay their taxes, put in their 40 years at the factory, and volunteer down at the soup kitchen. They do many of the same things that believers do. But they're not saved. Again, what's the difference? These sinners have said many of the same things that saints have said. They say, "I believe. I believe." And yet the Bible says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." The devils also believe, and they tremble. Not everything a person says is true. Did you realize that? I was going over with the young people tonight. If a man says that he loves God and he hates his brother, the Bible says he's a liar.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah,
he's a liar. And there's a lot of people, you can knock on their doors, I told the young people, and you can invite them to the church, and they'll say, "You know what? I'm not going to that church, because down that church is nothing but a bunch of hypocrites." And of course, a couple of minutes before that comment, they were talking about how much they love the Lord. Liar!
Yeah.
If that's what you think of God's people,
yeah,
you don't love the Lord.
Right, yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Whoever's begotten of Him, it says,
yeah,
loves Him that's begotten of Him.
Yes.
It repeats that over and over again in 1 John. You can't miss it. One of the consequences of being born into the family of God is you love the family of God.
Right.
And somebody that don't want to be around God's people because they're quote-unquote hypocrites, they don't love God.
Amen.
Right. Yes. That's right.
Sometimes we are hypocrites.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Sometimes we're overly critical. Sometimes we're overly nice. Sometimes we're moody. I don't mean that with the capital M. It's a lowercase M. But we still love each other.
Amen.
Because we're a part of the same family.
Yeah.
I've never understood my wife's family. When I was growing up, if we offended one another, well, we pretty much stayed mad at them forever. Just forever. Just can't let these big offenses go. And, I mean, the ways in which we offended each other, they were relatively small. But, I mean, my wife's family, I mean, they could really have, you know, cause an offense to one. They could smack somebody. Matter of fact, I remember when my wife was 16 and getting in the car with me and her mom smacked her a lot. And I wasn't real happy about that. But the next day, they were just all lovey-dovey. And I'm still not over it. The reason they're like that towards one another is because they're of the same family. They love each other. And so they get over it. If you're saved and you're born again, you love God's people. But there are people out there that say, I believe God. I believe God. I love the Lord. But they don't love God's people. There's something wrong with that picture.
Amen.
Saying there are people out there, sinners out there, unrepentant sinners that say some of the same things as the saints, as the children of God, but they're not saved. Some say, Lord, Lord, right? We looked at that passage this morning, and Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And you know what? Sometimes I think I'm a little too harsh on the charismatic movement. But you know what? Not according to this passage. Because you know what? These men like Benny Hinn and the TBN crowd, they go out there and they say things that are completely unscriptural. They act like they're raising the dead. They act like they're causing a crippled man to rise up and walk, and they are lying.
Right, yeah, that's right.
If God wanted to do those things, he could.
That's right.
But he's not doing it through that crowd.
That's right.
And it's that crowd that better wake up and read this passage. Because they're going to stand before the Lord and perhaps say, look at all this I've done. Uh-uh, you didn't do it in my name. You said you were. But you weren't doing it in my name. There are people that say, when they hear the gospel preached, I will follow. Orpah, she said that, didn't she not?
Yep.
I will follow you, Naomi. She didn't follow very long. Jesus, interpreting the parable of the sower, said, he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that is, at once, with joy, he receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but he dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. And what's he do? He quits. He's no longer following. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world come along, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And the longer I serve the Lord, the more real this passage comes.
Amen. You're right.
There are people that have come to this church and they hear the preaching and they're excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're excited about it. They appreciate it. They enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the first time I talk about the role of the woman in the church, they're gone. Because it offends them. The first time I talk about people, believers in the church need to support the church financially, they're gone. First time you talk and say something negative about Hollywood movies or rock and roll music, they're offended.
Mm-hmm.
and they're gone.
Uh-huh.
Why is that? They've got no root.
Right.
They said many of the same things that people who are genuinely saved say. But they didn't get saved. They're not saved. They're not born again.
Mm-hmm.
There's unrepentant sinners out in the world that have felt many of the same things as those that have gotten saved, but they're not saved.
Right.
There's unrepentant sinners that have shed tears during a music special.
Mm-hmm.
They've laughed during a skit or play put on at church. They felt conviction during a sermon and mourning during an invitation. But those who display these emotions are not always saved.
Right.
I think of Luke chapter 11 when I think about people and their emotions, because I can just picture this woman in my mind. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he, Jesus, spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice. She just got all excited, filled with emotion. That's the way I see it. And said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. I guess just referring to the Virgin Mary. Here's the very first Roman Catholic.
Yes, sir.
Blessed is the womb that bare you, and the paps. No, Jesus says, blessed is he that believeth.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing. Blessed is he that heareth the Son of God and believeth. People display all kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But those emotions don't mean that they get saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's grand to see a person come under such conviction over their sin that they cry and weep. But just because somebody weeps and cries doesn't mean they got saved.
No, sir.
Sometimes people come to church for the first time in a long time because their lives are a wreck. And they're an emotional wreck.
Yes,
and when the invitation is given, they come. Why? Because they just want something to change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But they really haven't come to an awareness of their sin.
Yeah.
And their need to repent. Yeah. Before a holy God. They
right.
just want God to fix everything.
Come on, preacher. You're right.
They don't come forward to get saved. And so what am I saying? I'm saying the difference between Orpah and Ruth is not what they heard, not how they behaved, it's not what they said, it's not how they felt. And you know what? The difference between the saints and the sinners is not always what they have heard, it's not always how they have behaved, it's not what they've said, it's not how they felt. Rather, it is faith. It's what you believe.
Yes.
I want you to think with me for a moment about what Ruth is displaying here for us.
Mm-hmm.
Here she is, always been of the country of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
She's dwelt there all of her life. All of her friends are there. All of her family is there. All the store shop owners that she knows is there. Her barber is there. All right? Everything she knows is in Moab. Okay? Her beautician, whatever you call her, alright? And here her mother-in-law is going to a strange land, a place where she's never been. She's never seen it. She has no idea how it is that God is blessing that people. All she's heard is a messenger. A messenger came by and said, hey, the Lord dwells in Bethlehem. He's blessing His people. And you know what Ruth did with that revelation that God gave her? She said, I believe. I believe. I'm trusting my future to God.
Yes.
That's faith.
Yes.
Because you haven't seen heaven, all right?
Yes.
You've been told by this preacher there's a God in heaven. He is the Lord. He's created all things. He sent His Son to die for you. And you have to, by faith, say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust my future to God.
Yes, sir.
That's faith. And that was the difference between Ruth and Orpah. Faith.
Amen.
She believed. She came to trust in the true and the living God. Listen to what she says. Verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. She came to trust in the true and the living God. And she put her future in His hands. Have you done that? Have you put your future in the hands of God? You got a messenger here tonight that's saying to you, you need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will, if you'll follow that advice, you'll follow that counsel that comes from the Word of God, you know what? You will have a home in heaven and God will bless you throughout all of eternity.
Amen.
You say, how do you know that, preacher? I know it by faith.
Right.
Yes.
God revealed it to me in His Word and I believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
This book is true.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Abraham believed it. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God.
Amen.
That's the kind of city I'm looking for.
Yes, sir.
A city made by God. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I know many of you have. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to trust Christ. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That includes you.
Right.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Jesus took your punishment. He took your sin upon himself and died for you. And if you'll trust him and what he's done for you, you can be saved. Again, what was the difference between Orpah and Ruth? It wasn't what they heard. It wasn't what they did. It wasn't what they said. It wasn't how they felt. The difference was faith.
Amen.
And if you're saved, the difference between you and an unrepentant sinner is faith. If you're not saved, the difference between hell and heaven is faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless it as it's went forth tonight. Use it to encourage your people. Use it also, Lord, to bring the lost unto thyself. Lord, I pray that as we read and study the book of Ruth, you would open up our understanding of the things that you intend for us to see there. Lord, it's a sad thing to watch this young lady by the name of Orpah go back into Moab while Ruth goes on to the promised land. Lord, we realize that as a result of the decisions these two have made, one lady is forgotten forever and never mentioned again on the pages of Scripture. But Lord, the other, Ruth, and her name is found in the New Testament, recorded there, to be there throughout all of eternity, found in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we too, if we'll put our faith and trust in Christ, will not be forgotten, but we'll have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God, again, draw those that are amongst us that are not saved to Christ. May they trust Him even tonight. Bless in this invitation now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.